Welcome to Our Voices, Our Future, the podcast where we amplify the voices driving change and equity within medicine and beyond. Brought to you by the Gender Equity Task Force, a committee of the American Medical Women's Association, we're here to challenge norms, break barriers, and ignite conversations that matter. I'm Megan Etze, and in each episode, we'll bring you candid discussions with leaders, change makers, and advocates working to create a more inclusive and just world. No more silence, no more waiting. It's time to get our voices, our future. Today, we are welcoming Dr. Teresa Lazar. She is an OBGYN in New York at North Shore University Hospital, Hofstra Northwell in Manhasset, is an assistant professor in the Department of OBGYN and clerkship director at the Donald and Barbara Zucker School of Medicine. She obtained her Bachelor's of Arts in Biology and Politics from New York University and continued to study medicine at SUNY Downstate in Brooklyn, New York. Recently, she completed her Master's in Education in the Health Professions at Hofstra University as well. She is currently a part of our Gender Equity Task Force and is passionate about leadership, mentorship, communication, and the advancement of women in medicine. Welcome, Dr. Lazar. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you so much, Megan. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for including me.
Yes. So to start us off, can you tell us how mentorship has played a role in helping women overcome gender-based barriers in medicine?
Absolutely. Happy to. Currently, women are more than 50% of the graduating medical students. However, there's a significant number that stop practicing medicine or work part-time within 6 years of starting their careers. And women are underrepresented in leadership positions. The AAMC, the State of Women in Academic Medicine, in 2023-24, the data show that 34% of women are division chiefs, 25% are department chairs, 27% are medical school deans, and 42% of women are associate professors. And this data reflects an improvement over the past decade, which is wonderful, but it's significantly less than 50% of the graduates. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And there are two articles in Academic Medicine, one by Dr. Mary Shen, The Impact of Mentoring on Academic Career Success for Women in Medicine, and one by Dr. Neha Perky, Advancing Women Physicians in Academic Medicine. And both demonstrate the impact of mentorship in supporting women in medicine. It's been shown to increase career satisfaction. It supports academic promotion, salary equity, increase in scholarship and research. And it's important for women in medicine. So I really do think it makes a difference.
Wow, those numbers are absolutely crazy to me. Even that this is us progressing, right? So we're still like the 20 to 40% of representation in these levels. And that's absolutely very interesting to just hear all those percentages put together in one sentence was like, wow. Thank you for pulling that information out for us. That's very intriguing to hear about. What type of advice would you give to women in medicine who are struggling to find a mentor?
I would say ask for mentorship. Seek mentorship from different mentors, not just one. I used to think you just need one mentor, but that's not the case. There's so many dimensions to a career. And I would suggest even asking individuals within your institution, but also outside your institution, to be your mentors. Ask individuals that you perceive as role models who are skilled in a particular area you want to develop. They'll value your work and see your potential and elevate your career. And as I was preparing for this podcast, I came across the AMWA Mentorship Committee, which I think would be a wonderful resource to get started. I would also suggest attending conferences within your specialty. I would definitely also recommend reaching out for allyship. That can also be very impactful and lead to sponsorship opportunities within your career. And I would say no matter what point in your career you're currently, currently in, whether you're early career or mid-career. There are skills you can develop. Networking and negotiation skills are also very important and can be developed at any point. I graduated from medical school. I've thought that, this was my goal. I'm set. I wanted to establish myself in practice, and I focused on that. And it was very rewarding. But I realized that there was so much more to a career that needed development. And I went for my master's in education about 5 years ago. And that was very transformative and enlightening. And there were a lot of mentorship opportunities with that as well. So at any point, it's worth investing in mentorship. But the earlier you start, the better, I would say.
I feel like we talk about imposter syndrome so much, and I think it comes with this as well. I think when we're training up to be doctors, we kind of feel that sense of imposter syndrome and like asking, oh my gosh, they're a doctor. Can I ask them to be a mentor? Will they want to? But I think it's important to just have the mindset that they have gone through the same stages that you're going through. They know what it feels like to be in your position. And I was kind of just out of the world at the conference, the AMWA conference this past weekend, at how many like successful achieving doctors are willing to like speak to me and like give that support. I think it's a lot of times we are kind of afraid to just initiate that conversation, but as soon as we do it, it can feel so freeing to realize that they want to be there for us. Yeah.
Absolutely, Megan. I'm glad you had a positive experience, and I did as well. Mentorship can be informal or formal mentorship, and I experienced a lot of the informal mentorship at the conference, and I do intend to follow up and try and formalize some mentorship because, as you said, the women physicians at these conferences are open to helping you, and you should definitely tap in and establish a relationship of mentorship.
Very great. So, on the other side of it, what advice would you give to a woman who's in medicine thinking about becoming a mentor?
Well, I've been fortunate to mentor residents and junior faculty and for many years. And I would say it's a reciprocal relationship. It's worth your time and energy. It's inspiring. You learn as well. You share your life experiences, work experiences, and it's a relationship that you can develop over years, or it could be shorter, but it really does foster a sense of belonging. You don't need specific training for it, but you do. It is a skill development, and you do gain that skill the more you mentor. I'm sure there's mentorship training or coaching training. There are programs in that as well, which looks interesting to participate in, but it's definitely worth it.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that as you grow, and even for me, like mentoring pre-med students, like as you grow into like your profession and your career, you're like, oh wow, now it's time for me to do that for somebody else. And you're kind of like,
Pay it
wow,
forward.
yeah.
We're definitely a community, and that's why mentorship is so powerful. It's that relationship that everyone benefits from.
So many benefits from mentorship. If you have just like an additional token advice to leave our audience with, what would that be?
I would say growth mindset with your career and your mentorship. And, as you mentioned, that mindset is key, taking that first step. So if you're thinking about it, just do it.
Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Lazar. It's been great having you on our podcast.
Well, thank you, Macon. And I also want to thank Joanna Georgiakis and the Gender Equity Task Force for supporting this podcast series, which I also consider is a valuable resource for mentorship and reflects the important work of women in medicine. So thank you very much, Megan.
Thank you. So that's a wrap on this episode of Our Voices, Our Future. We hope today's conversation inspired you, challenged you, and reminded you of the power of raising your voice. The fight for equity doesn't stop here. Join us in the movement. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and if you love this episode, share it with someone who needs to hear it. Until next time, stay bold, stay vocal, and keep the conversation going. This is Our Voices, Our Future.